but I'm ready. I'm good. I'm at 10, that is.
Can you do 30?
Yeah. 40?
Okay. Sure. That's not what I said.
Oh, that's what I heard you say.
Okay.
Sink.
All right. Okay.
All right. We're professional.
I was, you said, did you say 40 at 30? Welcome to Direct Video VHS.
VHS.
A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. This is an aged pairing.
This is a vintage.
Because we don't have, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have something to pair this with. This movie we've just watched is to be paired with Balto 2 Wolf Quest.
Yes, this is like finishing off a side quest in a game that you've just been putting off for 60 hours.
Yeah. So, okay. So, we're going to get into it, obviously, but I was filled with dread at the idea of watching this movie.
Yes,
straight up dread, because I remembered last time was such an ordeal. However, mm-hmm. Let me open up my podcast thing and go back real quick to look at our feed. Balto 2 Wolf Quest, this is 3 years ago, and honestly, I think that's even wrong.
That cannot be right. It has
Years ago. It said Jesus 3 years ago. Christ. I think that was an update or something. 7 years ago, we watched Balto 2 Wolf Quest, and here's what happened in between us watching Balto 2 Wolf Quest and us watching Balto 3 Wings of Change. Genuinely a worse subtitle, but that's fine.
It's fine. Wolf Quest is such a good subtitle.
We watched All Dogs Go to Heaven. We watched Krunk's New Groove.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched two Land Before Time's movies.
We watched the entirety of the Swan Princess series.
We sure did, and the entirety of the Disney Fairies series.
That's
we watched
right.
Lightyear. Frankly, we watched a lot of movies that I would classify as straight up worse than Balto 3 and probably Balto 2.
Balto 2, I would have to rewatch it, which I'm not going to do.
Uh-uh.
To really have an objective viewpoint.
The only way I would rewatch Balto 2 is if we were doing some kind of like Twitch stream of Balto 2 where we were live reacting to it. I cannot fathom another way.
It's been, oh my god, is there a Balto video game?
This is a dark question.
There is. It's Balto Wolf Adventure. It is based on the 2002 sequel Wolf Quest.
Amazing.
Along with elements taken from Wings of Change.
Sure.
Released for the PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, and Game Boy Advance. That's amazing.
That means there's at least two games, because the Game Boy Advance is not the same game.
Yeah, that's a different game. So there is a game for this. That's insane.
Upwards of two. So, but here's the thing, is I watched this, and I was like, this movie is mediocre. Mediocre bordering on okay.
I would say it's middle. Yeah, it is perfectly middle of the road. And it has like one good thing about it and one weird thing about it.
It might be that there's a weird thing about it. It might be that this movie is not magical. And that's what struck me as like, okay, all right. This feels like more of a sequel than Wolf Quest.
Yeah, because the Balto one is like straight up just like, it wants to be like a historical documentary with a fun kids film in the middle, right?
Right.
Like it ends with live action footage, I believe.
Yes. And this movie felt very much playing in that space. The whole plot, the whole driving force of the plot is the idea of sled dogs delivering mail is becoming outdated.
It's the next generation of dog sled. Dogs are going to be out of a job.
And there's no magical spirits, and there's no quest, exactly.
There's no wizard mouse.
There's no, I believe the word you're looking for is spirit animal.
No, I said what I said. Yeah, I'm going to be real. I don't think this movie's bad. I did fall asleep in the middle of it. and had to rewind it and start watching it again.
This is a fall asleep in the middle of it style movie. It's not bad, but it's like, it's not exciting.
No, it's also weirdly a movie without a villain.
Which is honestly, the way it's thrown together is a little bit fascinating.
Yeah, well, okay, just because it's been so long.
Let's start at the beginning. Actually, let's start a little bit before the beginning.
Yes, I think this is wise.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm going to real quick, look up a date.
Balto, the original Balto came out in 1995.
That was not the date I was looking for.
Damn.
Here we go. Yes. In 1925, there was a diphtheria outbreak in Nome, and a sled relay that was finished by Balto and Balto's team, and by the man Gunnar Kassen, I believe is his name, got them the antitoxin that they needed so that a bunch of kids didn't die. And then, in 1995, they made a movie about it, where they made Balto half-wolf and hot. And then they did another movie, where Balto's daughter goes on a wolf quest. That movie does not matter, and I cannot stress this enough, that's great news for me. Because that movie was bad. Anyway, Balto's in Cleveland now. In case anybody wants to see him at the Natural History Museum, I did go to the Natural History Museum recently, and it was disappointing. It's in the middle of a pretty major renovation, and it looks bad at the moment.
That's unfortunate. I will say, I went to the Chicago Museum of Natural History. Killer.
Yeah.
One of the best museums, like, in the United States.
The Cleveland one fucking used to be, man. It was so cool. And I walked in, and frankly, it seemed like they replaced every other wall with a window, so it's just very bright and white in there, and I was like, why are we doing this? This is not the vibe for a museum.
They house flipped the museum.
They did house flip the museum! They put Balto, Lucy, and the big sauropod they have, whose name I can't remember, they put them all in main room, like, open concept. And then they're like, and now you can go look at the rest of the stuff!
It's not called Hoppy, is it? Happy, it's Happy.
Oh, it might be Happy because he's got a grin. Anyway, last time we did make the mistake of getting too into the actual real historical aspect of Balto, which I do find fascinating, but I think we need to try to take a step back from and focus on the movie in front of us.
Well, and this is great because there's actually like a movie in front of us.
That's nice.
And I want to talk about, I think it's kind of cool that this is like a movie without a villain, right? It's like The Martian in that way, as opposed to Balto 2 Wolf Quest, which I believe had like an evil wolf leader as a villain.
It definitely 100% had an evil wolf leader. Andy, I was about to come down on you for comparing this movie to The Martian. Then I realized it's actually not like The Martian.
It's pretty close.
If you replace Mars with Alaska, it's essentially The Martian.
If you made a live action version of this movie, the pilot would be Matt Damon. Like, come on.
It would probably be Matt Damon. Yeah. Anyway, I was watching the credits, and I'm sure, I don't know if this was different for this movie, or if we just were not at the point, it was like episode 6 when we originally did the Balto movies. Maybe we just didn't notice big voice actors as much then, but Jodie Benson is the love interest in this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, Jodie Benson? Who's Jodie Benson? And then once her face talked once, and I was like, oh, there she is, that's Ariel.
Yeah. They also got, what's his name? Keith Carradine, I think, was the pilot, which is like a pretty big get. For a pretty small role, yeah. And then Sean Astin for Cody, who I thought was going to be more of a central character.
Yeah, I think that they didn't want to forget that Balto has kids. And they, when they're doing the Balto sequels, they wanted to give him kids to interact with. But Cody, Balto's kid, is very ancillary to the story.
Yeah. And at a certain point, kind of becomes like the, I don't know how to say it, like, it's such a weird role for him to play. He becomes like the the leader of the misguided youths, I guess.
Yeah, he's like dissenting against his dad. His dad has like, I think that Balto might be, and this is going to come, this is going to be a weird thing to say. I think Balto might be clinically depressed.
He goes on this long speech to his girlfriend slash wife about how he wishes he could be free again.
My guy. He says, no, he doesn't even say again. He just says he would be free. And I was like, you worked so hard to get any semblance of responsibility. And you have so little responsibility now. You are free. You're like the freest a person boat, can dude. Be.
You sleep on the remains of a boat. Like, you have no owner. You could just leave. And the town would be like, well, I guess Balto's gone now.
And all of his kids are grown. He has freedom.
The only person he'd be leaving is his wife, Jody Benson.
I disliked the use of the word freedom because what he wants to do is fly, which is fine.
But also, stupid thing to ask for. Didn't Balto listen to the main theme of this movie? Anything can fly.
Everything can fly.
Everything can fly. Sorry, you're right. It's even stupid. I truly think that the main theme of this movie is bad. It's too bad.
One of my earliest notes is this song will not end because it also sticks around way longer than you expect it to.
This song is like 4 minutes long and they get it and they hit you again with it for the end credits. Like a slasher villain. I was like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't keep listening after the end came up. I was like, they can keep singing. I'm not going to hear it.
I always stick around for a little bit because once the, you know, once the fancy bloops. Credits are over. Well, no. Once the fancy credits are over and the like black screen credits are playing,
yeah,
I always wait a little bit because I want to know if they're going to hit me with like another theme song. You know, like The Emperor's New Groove hits you with a song by Sting.
Well, I feel like we've definitely talked about why that happened.
Yes, but like it's still weird, even if you know why. It's totally odd, you know. And most songs will hit you with just like generic 90s like alt rock trash. So I always stick around just in case. But no, this main theme lasts a good chunk of the way through those credits. It's so long.
So this main theme's playing, we get a bunch of like essentially establishing shots. Balto's staring into the sun like a fucking asshole.
and also like making faces at his wife that I truly don't know how to comprehend. Like,
yeah, and she's like, why are we up here again, man? And he's like, God, it's so cool. It's so cool.
Babe, it's Black Friday. It's Black Friday. We have to be up this early. It's like the same energy, you know?
Yeah. And a plane comes by. He's like, look at that. Isn't that great? And she's like, yeah, I guess. It's not great. I don't need to be here.
Dude, back before we had video games, like, this is what people would do.
Yeah.
Like, they would just look at, like, moving vehicles and be like, wow, would you look at that? A boat.
A boat. Let's let's everybody wave at the boat.
Let's wave at that boat.
So then we meet our two joke characters.
Do we? Oh, we might. The two polar bears, right?
No, not those joke characters. Those are established joke characters. No, I'm talking about the dog that eats all the food and the other dog that has definitely diagnosable anxiety.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. I forgot about these two.
They're not important. I only made note because Mel, who works at the post office, Mel is like, oh, the mail's late. What if they fell down a cliff? What if an avalanche happened? What if they got attacked by a bear? And the only reason I made note of it is because it's a callback to everything that happens to Balto, which is too much, frankly, in one movie. And then, I mean, this is essentially their only scene. They're kind of a Greek chorus, but they don't matter. And then we meet Cody, who is the new hotness on the sled team. He's very excited. He's very we got to get the mail in.
He's the guy from Andor.
Okay, I believe you. I have not seen Andor. I've heard it's good, but
dog, dude, it pains me. It pains me in my very soul that I have not watched any Star Wars thing since the last movie, except for Andor, and nobody else in my life has watched it.
I've heard it's very good, but honestly, I'm so burnt out on Star Wars.
I understand, and I guess I'm not, because I was like, I made my peace, but like, I don't know, man, it's good.
So, I just wanted to mention that Patrick Starr is here.
Yes, Patrick Starr is here as, I believe, Boris?
I did not pick up his name, that was Patrick for me. It's such a good thing that he got a recurring character, because this man has one voice, and I'll hear him in movies sometimes, and it will tear me out of the movie.
It is almost tragic, but then it's like, that guy has to be making bank. He got his own show.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's just like, you know, in the 90s, he would be in stuff, and it would not be SpongeBob, and it would be weird. Tom Kenny can voice stuff.
Yeah, yes, correct.
Like, he has different voices. This guy, all of his voices are the Patrick voice. And so it's weird when this dog shows up and all Patrick. I hear is Patrick talking about a panty raid.
My nail hurts.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah. No, Boris is the name of the goose, of the Russian goose.
Oh yeah, Boris is the name of the goose. Come on, he was one of our favorites in the original.
His name is movie. Ralph in this. Ralph. In this. I refuse to believe that any of these characters were ever named.
Yeah, so Cody definitely is, because he's short for Kodiak. His mom yells it at him, and that's how you know he's in trouble. That was funny.
Yeah, yes, that is, that was the most you're my son moment this movie ever had.
Yeah, she's like, Kodiak, what are you doing here? Anyway.
Why aren't you with your father?
They bring the mail in. He forgot to take out the trash. They bring the mail in, and they're late. And this plane gets here. And it turns out that this bush pilot is gonna offer to fly the mail, because he thinks it's such a great idea. And yada, 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 they're gonna do a race for it. Now, meanwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sexiest goose you've ever seen.
I need to talk about this character, Stella. All of my early notes are like, I hate this sexy goose. I don't like that they're trying to make this goose so fucking sexy. It's so weird. And fuck it, she's a fun character. I'm very annoyed by her as a character, because I feel like she's not quite enough of a character to work as well as I feel like she actually does. Part of it might be that I just kind of like the archetype of, like, a femme fatale character who, it turns out, is kind of a teddy bear who just, like, really wants to be appreciated and loved and gets, like, she's essentially Meg from Hercules.
Yeah, she's just tired of the like dating game, and she just wants to find like a good dude.
But also, she has boobs.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, also, like, she changes color halfway through the movie.
She does. Sorry. She gets kind of purple.
She gets kind of purple and then like stops being purple. It's very odd. I don't know what happened there. I think it's supposed to be because it's nighttime.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They're not like boob boobs. It's a little bit like what Stitch's girlfriend has, except more defined. And I was like, it's weird that you went to the trouble.
They even went through the trouble of making her like sway them around when she's hitting on Boris. All right.
She has a whole ass dance number where she hits on him, and it's like very Jessica Rabbit.
It is very Jessica Rabbit. I need to give props to my man, Kevin Burrows, who left a 2-star review 2 years ago on IMDb.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it, Kev. What you got for us?
We loved the first two movies, open quotes, especially the original, close quotes. It was one of our favorites as kids. This one is pretty provocative for a children's movie, though. Our girls are 3 and 6. There were a few parts with the female goose that were sexual / not subtle at all, and she kept calling him Big Boy, which was just too much. Plus, the songs aren't all that great. 4 out of 10.
I mean, fair. that last bit is fair. I
need to stress that it is a 2 out of 5-star review, And my man still felt the need to put 4 out of 10 at the end of it, just in case you didn't
beautiful.
Know.
Beautiful. I wasn't that offended by this character. I felt like she won me over. But I do have a problem with characters who are introduced just to be sexy, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy to me that this is the second time, third time. No, you're right, because they did it in Lilo and Stitch, whatever that movie was called.
I believe she was introduced in one of the TV show episodes. So it would have been the third Lilo and Stitch movie that you actually get to see her. Anyway, it's
not important. Yeah. But like,
we sure watched 4 movies of Lilo and Stitch.
I cannot believe that, like, so quickly after we kind of complained about this in All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Oh yeah,
that it happened again, and they do that. I think you're right. They do this thing with these female like characters where they just like give them like fur cleave.
Yeah.
Right, and it's like that's not a thing.
No, but they're like, you get it, wink. It's like, I don't want to get it. Thank you.
They also gave her like an undercut, which is
her hair
like a
feather is
undercut,
hilarious, and
it makes no sense for right. No,
I love it for her.
No, it's great. I'm glad that she's out here doing it. You know, and. Like, she also has eyelashes, which birds don't have, but, like, I don't know, it's like, these animals having eyelashes is more believable to me than, like, an undercut.
How can you tell she's female if she doesn't have eyelashes?
If she doesn't have eyelashes, right? We can't just slap a pink bow on her, she's a wild goose.
But we can give her a very modern haircut.
A very modern, hey, for 2005? Very modern.
So then we see the bears. They're the same.
They're the same. Just, they're just as annoying.
They're just annoying and obnoxious. And they literally interrupt Boris getting hit on, which has got to be like the first time this has happened for him. So he's pretty mad at them. Fair.
But it helps him, right? Cause he scolds them.
He scolds them. And then she's like, holy shit, did you just tell off 2 polar bears? And he's like, yes, I did. Thank you for noticing.
I'm glad somebody appreciates me around here.
About here is where I begin to begrudgingly respect this movie.
Yeah.
Because this movie keeps to a theme, right? Mm-hmm. Balto wants to fly. Boris
can't fly.
Boris, this is weird, can fly.
Sorry,
but
correct. Can fly. He is capable of flight.
And in fact, Balto's like, well, we should just teach you to fly. And Boris is like, I can fly. I'm a bird. I just don't like to. But he has a thing about heights. All right, fine. Boris is afraid of heights. He essentially can't fly. Balto wishes he could fly. And then we have this plane.
Which
the
can
representation
fly.
Of both of their dreams, essentially. He wants to be able to fly because Stella, the way birds flirt, apparently, is by going for a flight together.
She's like, we should go south for the winter. Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's spring. She just flew in. She's essentially on vacation, which is also an aspect of her character that I actually really enjoy. Because I like the idea of a bird just being like, this time I'm gonna go somewhere else.
So she's like a Canadian goose.
Well, no, they're in Alaska.
But she's there on vacation.
Boris is Russian, though, and it's never explained how that happened. Did he land on a boat?
He looks like... Well, Russia... I don't know if you've ever seen a photo of Alaska, Tony, but Russia is right there.
You can see it from Sarah Palin's backyard. He can't fly, Andy.
I don't know. Maybe he swam.
Maybe he swam. At any rate, at one point he got to Nome, Alaska, and then couldn't leave. So.
Yeah, he was just like, you know what? There are worse places to live, but like Nome, Alaska, where all these children are dying.
So this race gets like officially announced.
No,
yeah.
So yeah. Sorry, we do need to go back a little bit because the plane guy's like, I wanna deliver letters for the US Postal Service.
Uh-huh. This was back at a time when you could walk in and just ask for a job and they'd give it to you.
Dude, the idea that I could just take my semi to a Walmart and go, I would like to deliver your fruit for you with my personal truck.
If you were in Nome, Alaska, you might be able to. How many semis are there?
That's what I'm saying is, you know, there were simpler times. So this guy shows up with his own personal plane. He's like, I want to deliver letters for you guys. I'm going to do it way faster. And the U.S. mail guy's like, well, golly gee, how can I say no to that?
And here's how. He's literally going to put like half a dozen people out of a job.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, sure, half a dozen people are out of a job, but not having to like keep up with the dog sled stuff is going to be better in the long run. And it might be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they sure don't use dog sleds for delivering mail anymore.
Yeah, it literally kills the dogs. I know that this is like a fantasy cartoon world where that's not true, but like, you know, I'm pretty sure a couple of dogs get pretty seriously injured in the first movie.
Now the dogs just do it for fun now. It's fine.
Yeah. But the male dogs who earlier in the movie were like, ah, oh, who gives a shit if we're late? This is the easiest job in the world. Well, now they got some competition.
What are they going to do? Fire us? Hubris.
That's right. So a race is organized,
yep,
between a plane, mm-hmm, and a sled dog team. And I'm going to be real with you guys.
This is exactly what happened in Going Postal.
This is exactly what happened in Going Postal, but more to the point. The plane in the movie is a Cruise JNJ, which had a top speed of 75 miles an hour.
Oof.
Sled dog teams average up to 25 miles an hour. The only reason this guy lost is because he was fucking doing tricks on him.
So I think the idea is, the only way this makes sense to me, is the post office wants to know if he can save as much time as he's claiming. And if he can't, maybe they'll just go with the thing that they already know works. Because, yeah, Balto, the team, goes up to Balto and asks for his help because he is the fastest and he's already a proven leader. And all of them respect him because he saved the town.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He says to Jenna, I remembered her name, his wife-ish, he says to her, I'm not faster than a plane.
It's, and yeah.
He's like, I cannot do this. Cody's going to be really disappointed when he realizes I'm not a magic flying wolf.
Mm-hmm. And she sings a song about how he just needs to be a good dad, which is crazy because halfway through the song, she's like, also, you've already been a good dad.
Yeah, the themes of the song are good. I feel like it doesn't really work that well. Cody was an ugly kid, and I feel like this is an important part to highlight.
He was an ugly kid.
He wasn't ugly. I don't know how you make an ugly puppy, but they did it. Oh.
He had a bit of a, he had like a Land Before Time energy to him.
Yeah,
as a puppy.
Okay, so now they're all ready for the race.
Yeah, they're gonna race the plane.
While the race is getting set up, Stella finds out that Boris has been lying about his old, essentially war injury that stops him from flying, and she goes off on him, and he ends up in a series of events that was pretty hard to parse, accidentally stuffed inside a mailbag
and thrown put onto on the plane.
And she's like, perfect. I appreciate that this happened. And nobody else, no human, no dog, no one saw that.
It's crazy because this scene does happen in front of God and everybody. The entire town of Nome and the entire sled dog team.
12 dogs.
And they all decide, well, this is a domestic dispute. We're just going to look away.
If you saw two geese honking at each other, just bullying each other right in front of you, you would look.
Like, at the very least. You know,
this is an interesting thing that's happening.
It's very rare, I think, to see the sexiest goose you've ever seen bullying another goose.
Bullying the most Russian goose you've ever seen.
Yeah, the most Russian goose you've ever seen.
Oh, also, Boris is yelling from inside the thing, which means that this pilot must be deaf. And maybe he is. He flies in this very loud plane.
110% my man can't hear shit.
It's just... Imagine a goose trapped in a metal box. You could hear that goose.
I love the idea of this guy being, like, hard of hearing and just walking into the quietest town and being like, hey!
I want to deliver your mail!
You better speak up! I love dogs!
Oh no, it's Balto!
I've heard a lot about you! That'd be great.
Yes. And then the first half of this race happened super fast. I was shocked by the plotting of this movie that this race is actually not that important to the plot. Because yeah. in the first movie, when they're getting all the medicine home, there's a bunch of just junk that happens to them. And that kind of happens in this movie, but not until later. So I was just baffled. Because we get down to whatever the fucking...
White Peak,
probably. Get down to White Peak, and the plane gets there first, obviously. And Balto's like, that doesn't matter. We still have half the race. There was a great bit where Patrick Starr started slowing down, and Balto just looked back at him, and he was like, nope, I'm going.
You're right, I won't talk for the rest of the movie.
Which does suggest that Balto would be a very good male dog, because it turns out you need everybody a little bit afraid of you.
I mean, I do think one of the things that one of the minor themes of the movie is that Cody wants to be respected like his father is, but he also wants to be like a part of the in-group.
Cody is not enough of a character for this theme to work. He's clearly like walking in his father's footsteps, right? Mm-hmm. But it kind of drops it because
this is a Balto movie.
And a move that could have been interesting, he and Balto clash on their ideals for two reasons. One, the pilot disappears. He flew into some fog or something and crashed. And they get home and they're like, haha, we're so much faster in that stupid plane. I can't believe we were worried, yada, yada, yada. And Balto says to Cody, and this is the part where I thought Balto might be, like, literally depressed because he cannot let this go. When this stuff is happening, he's like, one day the plane's just gonna be better than you. He's like, we won this time.
But, like, we're not gonna be able to keep up with the changing of technology.
Yeah, it's like, this is, we're on our way out. This is on its way in. And Cody's like, no, fuck you, Dad. And he gets mad about it, understandably. Because this was a weird vibe for Balto to bring to the celebration.
Yeah.
And then later, not too much later, by the way, this is when the polar bears show back up again, and I had literally forgotten about them. This is how not important the polar bears are.
It truly sucks how much they are in this movie and how little they do.
They show up again and they're like, oh, big monster attacked us in the mountains. And nobody said to them, and they always should, guys, don't come into town.
Yeah.
But they're like, a big monster flew out of the sky and attacked us. And Balto's like, that was a plane. Shit, that's the plane. I should go save the plane. And he goes to talk to Cody about it. And Cody's like, this guy tried to take our jobs. I like doing this, and you just told me he's going to eventually take our jobs. I'm not going to save him. And Balto's like, well, I am, and leaves. And I like the fact that he essentially had two fast fights with Cody, but it would have worked if Cody was a person. Cody's kind of just defined as, like, Balto's son, and almost no secondary characteristics. He also really likes running the mail.
Well, again, it's one of those things where it's like, and I know you don't like this movie, but it's just to kind of compare it to a movie that does a good job with this. In The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, right? Kovu is his own character who has, like, goals and stuff that he wants
Scar
to
is
do.
Fucking dead.
Yeah, well, he's Scar's son, so he's got a lot of, like, shit to deal with.
Sorry, canonically adopted son, so it's okay.
It's okay, it's fine. He doesn't have genetic evil in him like Simba does, because Scar is his uncle.
No, I meant the fact that he dates his cousin.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
They're all lions. They're all cut. Anyway, it's not important. They have the same dad. Sorry.
Statistically speaking, the only way Nala exists. Anyway, it's not important.
It's not important. So part of the reason why it doesn't work, I think, is because this isn't a movie about Cody.
And so Cody doesn't get a cool scar.
Yeah. He can't have time to like develop himself because the movie always has to be like, well, this is a movie about Balto, actually. So we care more about what Balto has to do. But like, we know Balto. Balto is a character. He's cooked. He's fully baked.
I was about to say Cody needs some time to bake.
Yeah. Cody needs some time to bake, but they give him no time in the oven. And so he's just kind of like around and you get a sense that he's in his own movie. But we don't get to watch that movie. We had to watch, this is a Balto movie, goddammit. It's about Balto. And so it kind of feels a bit like a retirement movie almost.
Yeah. Which can be done well. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me talk just a bit. I want to talk about the one real black mark on this movie in my mind.
Yeah. Yes.
We cannot throw around the phrase mentally challenged, all right? I'm not for it. That's some bullshit. How dare you? When he tells the other dogs about it, they're like, we don't even know if he's out there. I mean, you just have mentally challenged polar bear's word on it. I wanted Balto to rip out that guy's throat. Fuck you.
Yeah, that guy, there's a lot of reasons not to like those polar bears, and that is not one of them. It's super fucked up.
Those are also, if you remember from the first movie, essentially Balto's brothers. They're the only ones who cared about him when he had nobody. And Balto just lets that happen.
Yeah, you know, 2005 was a crazy time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should have been a sticking point, right? That should have been like there's no point in this movie where like the dogs do the like the growl and snarl thing, you know?
Right.
I feel like we got a lot of that in Wolf Quest and the original, right? Where mm-hmm, two dogs mm-hmm. are going at it violence-wise. But no, in this movie this is too tame.
Yeah.
There's no room for dogs to fight each other in this movie. They just kind of have like mild disagreements over lunch.
I would also like to point out, I don't want to get too deep in the woods. These polar bear characters are not mentally challenged. They are only physically challenged.
Yeah, they're just small.
One of them is big and the other one's small, but they're both very small. And
they're
that's
both
a problem.
Small for polar bears. Yeah. They're just little guys.
One of them's smaller than Balto. He's like fucking Wolverine sized. Like,
yeah, Balto's huge. They team up with Stella, the hot mm-hmm. goose. And the polar bears and Balto, and they all go to look for the plane.
There's a kind of fake out that I kind of enjoyed where Stella's like, why don't you just tell me where he is and I'll go find him? And they tell her, and she goes to fly off and immediately comes back and is like, I don't know what any of those words meant. I don't live here. I did kind of like that. They're like, oh, he's by Bear Rock. And she's like, right, got it. Bear Rock turns around, comes right back. Yeah, I guess I'm staying with you guys.
Shit.
Then we get Jenna yelling at Cody, which was very fun, and I did
Again,
enjoy
very
it.
Very good. Yeah.
He's fucking in front of his friends for work.
Dude, that's rough. Could you imagine getting dressed down by your mom in front of all of your coworkers? Not some of your coworkers, all of your coworkers.
Amazing.
I do love her being like, hey, your dad's fucking old, dude. Like, you seriously let him go off on his own?
Yeah, Cody's like, I just don't think we should help the pilot. She's like, your dad just walked into the wilderness.
You think job security is as important as a life? A little bit.
Well,
sometimes.
What about the life of your father who doesn't think that is about to go out into the woods and die? Which I feel like it should be noted would have happened.
It would have happened. Yeah, because Balto decided to take the scenic route back.
Then we get some shenanigans with the most yakety sax ass musical cue I have ever heard. That's not yakety sax.
I have to say, I did fall asleep while watching this movie. So when I woke up, I was like, well, I'm just going to fast forward through it just so I can get back to like where I woke up. Cause I don't want to waste any time.
So did you not hear this fucking music cue? It's wild.
Dude, I got to hear this music cue at 1.5 times speed. which meant that it was even more yakety sax than normal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually the correct speed to watch this.
It was wild. I was like, this can't be right. Like, there has to have been a mistake.
It feels like they animated the scene and then thought, this is too scary for this movie. And I don't know why they thought that's not that scary a scene. But they thought, this is too scary. We need to, like, make it less scary. And so they were like, got it. Like, it's so weird.
We're just going to throw, like a 1980s cooking show intro into it and hope it kind of comes out in the wash.
There's a couple good gags with Stella again. She tries to save one of the bears by having it grab her leg, and she's like, why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, I can't carry a bear. I'm a goose.
I'm a goose.
They escape the shenanigans, and we find out that we are in moose country. If I've learned anything from Brother Bear, it's that
moose are chill.
Moose are chill, or at the very least, they are going to bring this movie to a grinding halt for me.
Full asshole. And I think these moose might be infected with that parasite that makes moose go crazy.
Oh, yeah. They are like hopped up.
Yeah, and they have like, one of them just keeps saying, are you talking to me? And essentially nothing else. They only get away because another moose shows up and is like, hey, asshole, what are you doing here? And then they go to Bear Rock, which looks exactly like a bear. Like, much too much like a bear. It doesn't look kind of like a bear. It even has a little claw.
They find the plane.
They find the pilot. They find Boris. How long has it been? It's very unclear.
A day, right?
That Balto's been gone for like 6 hours or 8 hours or like a single digit number of hours. But then that doesn't tell me when the plane crashed. So I just don't know how much time has passed.
So here's the thing is it has to have been like, quote unquote, the same day. Because one of the things that Balto mentions is, oh, once the sun set, it's going to get cold. Like, but that could be like if we're in the spring, how long is a day in Alaska during the spring?
That's an excellent question. Actually, that changes it a bit for me because here's what I was thinking. I was thinking like they did the race today. This is a super long day, but maybe it's literally just a super long day.
Well, in the spring, they can get up to 18 hours of daylight in May 22.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. In fact, I like that a lot.
I am positive that the movie just didn't think about it, but like in my brain, I was like, no, this makes sense.
It works actually. Yeah, it's Alaska.
They have time. They need to get to him before the sun goes down, because then he'll absolutely freeze to death. So Balto tells the geese and the bear to go ahead of him. I don't know why.
Oh, because he needs to do this next bit alone for the drama of it.
Yeah.
This happened in the first one, too. I don't think it happened in the second one because he was essentially alone the whole time in the second one. But in the first one, he goes on this trip with the goose and the bear. And at one point, it's just like, you guys go back. I'll finish this. Like, why?
Yeah.
Do you know what might help in this trial is a bear?
Two bears! Then maybe it would have been too hard to explain to the human. Like, maybe he, like,
don't worry about these polar bears.
That guy would have just pulled out a gun.
How long? By the way, we keep calling him that guy, and I feel like I need to mention his name here because this is when I really first took notice of it and the fact that it is hilarious. Do you know this pilot's name?
Is it Duke?
It is Duke, which is a dog name.
That is a very dog name.
And what's funny is that the dogs all have human names, and I don't know if they did this on purpose, but I found it funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're legally allowed to name a kid Duke. Probably in America.
There has to be. Yeah, I was gonna say, there's no reason you couldn't.
Well, it's just that you can't name somebody a title, I don't think, for like the legality of titles. However, the title Duke, since theoretically it doesn't mean fuck all in America, that might be okay.
I think it'd be fine. Or maybe it's just short for something.
Dukem Nukem. Well,
sorry, I just remembered that there was in fact an American pianist called Duke Ellington. So no, it's perfectly fine in the U.S.
It's a silly ass name.
Oh
though.
No, that was his nickname. That Duke was his nickname. His first name was Edward. Never mind. Oh. I think it might just be a nickname.
Apologies to any listeners named Duke, by the way, for how much I'm dunking on this name.
It is a dog's name, though. It's like a German Shepherd's name.
Yeah, So Duke's got a broken leg, but he manages to use, I think, his windscreen as a sled, and Balto pulls him.
No, he tears off the lid of the mail compartment. That's what he
does. Ah, okay. Balto almost dies because of the cracking rock, which was they showed that it was going to happen, but it was still a very weird plot point. Like, why didn't you make it melting ice or something? I don't know.
Right. Well, they already wasted the waterfall bit.
They did waste the waterfall bit. He almost dies, but his son and his team come and save him, get them back home. And then my favorite part happens. The whole sled team comes home dragging this guy. And he's like, Balto and this team save me. And the musher is like, that's my team. He did not know they were gone. This movie does not fix the problem that this series has with not knowing what the relationship between humans and dogs is.
Over this, but at one point we do get a fucking like midnight bark scene in this because you have to do it because it's a dog movie. And I do think it's one of the frustrating things that like in 101 Dalmatians, a lot of hay is made about the fact that like they are behaving in ways that would make humans concerned, and humans are concerned about it.
Everybody's like, why are you barking? Oh, somebody shot him, close the window, and the dog like pops out of the chimney or something, I seem to recall, to continue the bark.
That was really funny. That was so good. But like even like the dog's running away, right? Like Pongo and Perdita running away is like the Roger and Elaine? I don't remember. They're like worried about their missing dogs and their stolen puppies.
And in this one, the dogs will do like they fucking do fucking skateboard tricks, like get the midnight howl out, despite the fact that this is a small town and they could actually just stick their heads out a window and bark.
Yeah, we saw how big this town was in the flyover at the beginning of the movie. It's tiny.
And you're right. It just makes it feel less real in a movie that is trying to be more real than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I thought that this movie was all right and better than All Dogs Go to Heaven.
And yes. Oh, 110%.
Way better than a lot of our movies.
Balto gets to ride in a plane at the end.
Yes, he does.
And he's like, this is the feeling that I've been wanting to feel my whole life. It's like, dude, you had a wife and kids, man. I don't know. I'd feel a little hurt if I was Jenna.
Jenna seems okay with it.
She seems kind of over it.
She's like, it's good for him to have his...
He's been having a midlife crisis for years now. He needs this.
Yeah, he needs this. Ever since he realized that he wasn't Wolf Jesus.
Right, yeah. When he gave up on his wolf quest because his daughter was Wolf Jesus. And this really was the wings of change.
I guess it really was. Bad name. I stand by that. That's a terrible name.
It really is. I don't know what else you could have called it.
Balto 3 Plane Quest.
Plane Quest.
They're all just quests.
Balto 3 Mail Run.
Balto 4 Wolf of Destiny. Wolf Destiny. Not of Destiny.
Wolf Destiny.
Thank you for listening to Direct Video VHS.
VHS.
I have been your host, Tony Robusto.
I have been your host, Andy Reyes.
You can find me on Blue Sky at inspiredbytrueevents.org. That's my handle now. And on the website, same name.
Wow.
It only works if you have the website. It's cool as hell, and I like it.
That's awesome. You can find me on Blue Sky as well at royalty-valens. And on YouTube at Ethical Games Journalism.
How ethical is that journalism?
I think that the fact that we're taking our time lets you know how ethical we are. The longer the time you spend between projects, the more ethical it is. Everybody knows this.
Yep.
But also, we've had a crazy I just activated my Windows this month, which has been part of the problem. I have to say.
Okay, you can mail us at directu.video, or you can leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify, or check out our YouTube channel. And finally, thank you to Scott Buckley for Homeward, which should be playing very soon, unless we get into another long conversation about Thanksgiving movies.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think we found out that there are, in fact, no Thanksgiving movies.
No real Thanksgiving movies. There's Alice's Restaurant, and there's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
And, like, I don't know if those really fit the theme of what we're going for here.
So what are we doing next time? Do you want to say next one's Christmas?
It's Christmas.
At Christmas.
It's Christmas. I'm looking at my watch, and all my watch says is it's Christmas.
You need a new watch.
I went to this broken watch is only right once out of every year. 365 days. Yeah. I went to the store the other day, and they were playing Michael Bublé music. So like, we're in it, you know. Mm-hmm. The Christmas has been freed from its shackles. I got to hear Holly Jolly Christmas. The curse is upon us. So we have to pick a Christmas movie.
Well, do you want to do Muppet Family Christmas?
I mean, why not? It's short, right?
It is short. It's like a 60-minute film or something.
Yeah, we could do a Muppet Family Christmas. And then we can say goodbye to season 3. I hate this bit because I only remember to do it at the end of the year. At the end of
season 3 is a bold. I just found out today that we've been doing this for like 7 years.
Well, we're definitely not on season 7. I just started doing this bit a little while ago. I just wish I remembered what the last number I said was. I'm going to say that next year, season 4.
All right. Next year's the one where we really dial in. It's so season 4.
I've often heard that TV shows don't get good till season 4.
Which but TV podcasts, show?
But no, hold on. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to give you proof for that.
Name one.
Frasier.
I'm not going to check up on that, so you might be right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I think this is the year we win a Tony.
We're going to have to do a little bit more singing.
Do you have to be singing to win a Tony? I thought it was just scripted. I just Googled Tony, and that's not.
I did too.
It did not give me what I wanted. Hold on. Awards.
Awards. Wikipedia?
New York Theater. Excellence in Broadway Theater. Does a Broadway theater have to be a musical?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I have always... Broadway is synonymous with musicals to me. But, no, plays and musicals are different according to their categories.
Yeah, great, cool.
We're awesome. Not getting, I believe, the budget necessary to be accepted as a Tony nomination.
Maybe we'll get like an honors award, like a special one for like lifetime achievement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe you we know. Can get best stage technician.
Ooh.
We'll get our podcast nominated for best costume design.
Yeah, we'll get best costume design. It's going to happen. These are when these things happen. Should we do a musical episode? I don't know how that would work.
Poorly. You cannot. It is impossible to harmonize
over the podcast. Over the internet?
It literally cannot happen.
How many podcasts have had a musical opening?
Many? I don't know.
No, let me rephrase that. How many podcasts have had a musical episode?
Fewer, but still some.
God damn it. All right, never mind. We're not breaking new ground. I don't want to hear about it.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Join us next time for a Muppet Family Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, Mission to Zix also had a musical episode. Son of a
bitch.
Yeah. Oh, and so did the Beef and Dairy Network.
Which is to say nothing of the music-based podcasts, of which there are not a few.
Yeah. Damn it.
I am the ghost of John Smith.
And I am internet dead.
Oh, bring that back.
Nope. I'm on my wolf quest. Awoo.
Awoo.
I do want to say also, actually, one of the writers for this movie wrote and produced Dragon Tales.
That fits the vibe.
Yeah, right. And here's the crazier part, also wrote the first and second movies.
Oh, okay.
This woman has had a storied career.
Do you think that she got notes on the second movie that was like, can we have less wolf questing?
I don't know what happened to make it this, but I want less of it and more just dog adventures. Can we just go back to that? Like normal dog adventures?
Hey, I can't help but notice that he didn't pull a single sled in this movie. We need to fix this.
Yeah, like, that's his whole thing.
It's literally his whole thing.